As much as the screw job was definitely in for the Columbus crew when they got a new
Yeah.
owner, yeah, it would be make complete no sense whatsoever to award a franchise to Charlotte and then have them move after their first year.
Yeah,
Like
this is literally the first year for him, so.
that would be unheard of. At least the crew was kind of established and had been around, and there may or may not have been reasons for a possible move at that juncture.
Yeah, and I mean, also the Panthers are, he owns both of them. In my personal opinion, is he's just waiting because there was, God, plumbing something or pipe something. It's right down the street from the stadium now, and I believe he just bought it. And it's a huge complex, like I'm sorry, a huge acreage, so you could honestly build both a football stadium and a soccer stadium on its own, and offices and everything else. So I get the feeling that's what he's doing. He's hedging his bets that he's going to be able to do that in
Now,
that location.
yeah.
That's my feeling, because he'd be a fool to move. Well, if MLS would even allow him to, just all right. What I'm getting at is,
find it highly doubtful.
yeah. But it's like he can't move the Panthers and then leave the soccer team behind and go, yeah, come support. Like, no. They would fail immediately.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, that
but I
would
will
be
say,
a real
since,
disaster.
yeah, well, and yeah, it's funny. To become a billionaire doesn't seem like you have to be that smart anymore. In the fact of, like, common sense. Like, you gotta be shady. It just seems like every billionaire is kind of an evil person in some respect. Maybe not, but
Right.
certainly seems that way.
Yeah, there definitely seems to be
So,
some level of mustache twirling involved.
yeah. But for him, it'd just be rubbing his bald head like Daddy Warbucks. Well, he wasn't a bad
Yeah.
guy, was he? What am I thinking of? Oh, Lex Luthor. We'll do that one. That's fine. So. And also a little more topical since, Lex Luthor's in DC movies, but yeah, it just doesn't seem like something that's feasible. But also, it's like, I don't know, man. Ugh. Well, I'll have Diamond Mine in the same spot for a change. But that's just totally part of a conversation. But whatever. I will say this though. This is where I was going. After going to that game, I've been watching more MLS games. And I actually watched Cincinnati and Columbus last Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday, yeah. And then I watched another game, and I watched another, and I didn't realize just how crowded these games are.
Yeah.
Like, I know the MLS has been around for a while, but it still felt like it was just a fringe thing. But these stadiums, I'm noticing, are full.
Yeah, and there's a reason. What did Apple pay for TV rights for them?
Well, I have no idea. Did they? I'm
Yeah,
serious.
they pay. Like, I don't think they have it this year. Like, I think it's for future years. I'd have to look it up because I definitely don't
Holy
remember.
shit. 2.5 billion for the next two. Look at that. $2.5 billion for the next 10 years,
Okay.
and it will show all MLS regular season and League's Cup, so MLS versus Liga MX competition, on the Apple TV platform via an MLS stream service within the app. Wow. So does that mean it's not going to be on regular TV?
I think that there are still going to be local stations. I think, from what I remember reading, more of.
So no more Fox then, basically. Because Fox is carrying the games.
I don't know because
Oh no.
like I said, I guess I thought
No, yeah, it's going to be.
That's
Yeah,
it.
it's gonna be Apple exclusive.
Well, oh, that'd be a real bugger if they don't have any type of local deal here. I'll just throw that out there because I mean that would just be another service to have to purchase that I really don't want to feel like purchasing.
No, and the thing is, like, there's reading this. This is from The Athletic. ESPN, Univision, and Fox pay total $90 million per season in the current agreement. They more than doubled by going to Apple TV. So you know, like 10 years times 90 is $900 million. They're
Oh.
getting 10 years at $2.5 billion.
Yeah, MLS is
Holy shit.
definitely not a fringe thing. They're and yeah, attendance is generally good. And I do think that it follows the pattern that most sports teams follow. Surprising, teams that are bad don't get crowds.
Yeah. Well, I was watching Charlotte and Miami, and that was definitely a case. Of course, Miami's playing in Fort Lauderdale right now. But yeah.
Oh.
There weren't a lot of people there. Also, odd color choices. Pink, black, and white. Miami.
oh, yes.
It's very strange. So
Yep. Yep, that is the route they decided to go.
this MLS deal is relatively new. That was just June 10th. Wow.
Yes. Yeah, very, very new. That's I probably wouldn't have remembered it had we been a little further out from that happening.
Well, that's crazy, man. That's crazy to double and a half. I mean, that's essentially what they did. And
Yeah.
that's got to guarantee longevity for these teams too, if they're doing revenue
Yeah.
sharing.
Yeah, they've done well for themselves, I think. I mean, even sponsor-wise, I think that things have moved in a better direction.
Yeah, it's funny to see all this stuff though. Like, I don't know, like, I know it's not fringe, but it sort of is because it gets no play, and you know,
Oh.
ESPN is not going to cover this anymore. I mean,
Well, it was
that is a
shocking
given.
how much hockey coverage ESPN had once they started carrying hockey
Exactly what I was getting at.
again. So, yes, I agree with you. The inverse will also happen. If they're going to stop carrying MLS, there's stop going to be MLS highlights, or at least there's going to be a lot less of them on that network.
Well, look at how they used to treat UFC. And then they got the rights. Now the UFC is all over. It's covered all over the place.
Oh,
They lost the boxing rights. They don't cover boxing anymore. Not that I know of, at least. I can't say I'm a huge ESPN aficionado during, college when it's not college football, but
well, yeah, that's it. I wouldn't know enough outside of games themselves for the most part what happens on ESPN.
true, true. Yeah, my dad was watching it when we were in Greenville over the weekend. He had it on Saturday morning, and I'm like, "What is this?" Like, it's very subdued. It's strange.
yeah, I just
So,
yeah, I don't feel like tolerating those shenanigans. And
but I
plus,
also don't
like,
understand ESPN. Like, I know ESPN's like the entertainment and sports network. That's what it stands for, right? Something like
oh,
that.
yeah.
So I guess WWE counts, but like seeing Cody Rhodes win the WWE Moment of the Year at the ESPYs, which of course is the ESPYs, so who cares? But
Yeah.
what? It's just very weird to have actual sports and then cover a not real sport.
Yeah, it is kind of strange that gets thrown out. And I mean, it's been a while now too. Like, didn't John Cena start that crossover the first time, or was he Nickelodeon mostly?
He was Nickelodeon. Now, WWE, remember they signed that deal with ESPN to get coverage? Because remember, Coach was there?
Oh, yes.
All is dressed the same in this segment. Except for Ivy Nile. Oh, okay.
Really? You think that, why am I blanking on her name right now? Is dressed the same as everyone else? Who's with Tony
Well, no,
D'Angelo?
not Alexa Lopez, no.
Yeah, Electra
She came in and
Lopez.
broke it up, but
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what. Since we got distracted by NXT, they had some goddamn good brawls on Raw last night.
Yeah, Raw made me I'm like, oh, maybe SummerSlam isn't gonna suck. Is at least the
No, it's
outcome
not
of
going to.
Raw.
I have no idea what they're doing with Roman and Brock, other than Brock not being happy. So I'm guessing Brock will lose. I
Oh. Yeah.
don't
Well, how many times have both of us advocating Roman doesn't lose until Cody comes back? We'll just move that argument aside and just go. Yeah, it really does seem like Brock or Drew now, if you do want to kind of take the title off of him, I suppose, and have it back on him by the time Cody comes back.
Yeah, no. Okay, are you implying that Drew's gonna win this Friday?
I would be shocked if Drew does not win this Friday.
Okay. I was with you until I started trying to rationalize this out, which is,
Oh,
the
yeah.
plans are changing now that Triple H is the head of creative. Obviously, last night nothing changed. I'm sure nothing's really changing for SummerSlam. Maybe they'll change up some finishes or whatever, but
Yeah.
it's like Triple H isn't taking over and everything's gonna be different immediately.
Yeah. Well, and I guess
But no, what I was thinking.
that's the
Oh, sorry.
elephant in
No,
the
what I was
room for the
thinking real quick.
WWE in general this week.
Gotta turn. Let's try this again. What'd you say?
Well, Vince
That's
McMahon being gone is kind of the elephant in the room to even re honestly starting before Raw was good and maybe made me think that SummerSlam wasn't going to completely suck. So, because yeah, it's part of the it's at least part of the story.
Yeah, and I knew we were going to talk about it anyways, so I figured just get
Because
all this stuff out of the way first. So.
well, it, well, and you well, just because you touched on it with the you can't immediately change the plans. It's just like, yeah, I mean, you can't. Like, there's only so much that you can do with an event 7 days away.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's written, what's going on. You can change finishes. You have time to change stuff up. I mean, obviously, matches, no, but outcomes, angles afterwards, stories, whatever else, you can definitely change that up. And if you want to, maybe Triple H agreed with the way it was going. I mean,
Oh.
I'm not expecting a huge change. I am expecting it to be different, but I don't know, man. I go back and forth with it. I don't know if things are going to get better or not. So,
Oh.
with Vince gone, if Vince is gone, with Triple H in charge, whatever. Kevin Dunn is still there. Bruce Pritchard's still there. Everyone's still there because Triple H can't come in a week and go, "You're fired, you're fired." Although, please fire the director of the shows because these camera cuts have got to stop. That should have changed already. And it hasn't.
Yeah, that was I
He's being the
forget
goddamn truck. Ugh.
it was the first match on Raw. And was there a punch chop kick chop kind of spot? And they literally changed the camera angle for every chop and or kick, like whatever the alternating
Yes.
strikes were, I was just like, my God, just if you do nothing else other than make that stop, Raw has improved at least 50%.
Well, see, Kevin, you don't understand how to shoot action. So instead of being able to see it, you want to trick the audience by consistently changing the camera angle to make it look like it's more impressive. You know, they become dizzy, so they have no fucking clue what they're watching. Ugh. You're exactly right. It's just terrible. It's been going on far too long.
Yeah.
Now, there was one, I think it was McIntyre kicking or clotheslining Theory or the other way around, and it was very clearly a miss. And they didn't change the camera angle. I was like, oh crap, here we go. And then it just seemed like it exploded after that. Like, we gave him a chance. Like, okay.
I can understand if you're trying to cover up a blown angle, I get it. Or if you can tell that something bad is going to happen and you feel like you can hide it with a different camera angle. Yeah, that's fine. That strike combination situation in no way warranted what they were doing.
No, and they do that with chairs. You know, like whenever someone's hitting it with a chair, they're constantly changing it. It's just like, oh boy. And then you just watch a regular TV show or a regular sporting event that it doesn't happen.
Oh, yeah. It's just like, good Lord. The cameraman doesn't purposely run the camera up and down during a rough catch in football.
Yeah.
To make it seem like he slammed on the ground even more.
Did you notice that a camera guy actually ran up on the apron to do camera shots?
Yes.
And then the camera shot was from him on the apron. I'm like, okay, one, that's a giant faux pas. That never happens. You rarely see a camera guy do something like that. And then two, get caught on camera doing it.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
Yeah. And then they went to the shot, like, well, we already got the shot. Take it. You're fired. Get out. Like, no. Don't take the shot. Just go somewhere else. I mean, just send, like, I don't know who Triple H's guys are backstage. Send one of them to the truck and go, if you tell them to change camera angles, you're fired. And we will go with a stationary camera the rest of the time. Like, what ADHD patient is doing these kind of, like, Who watches TV? Like, you know who's really guilty of that? Is Rammstein in their concert videos.
Oh.
Holy God. Oh, my God. I think it was Live from Paris, France.
Uh-huh.
It was almost a cut every second.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the songs. And I looked at Elise and went, I can't watch this. Like, I can't do this. You get no concept of what's going on. You have no concept of the theme. Because especially with someone like them, they have a theme for every song.
Oh, right.
You don't get a scope of, like, the effort they put in. And then it would slow down. I'm like, oh, my God, thank God. And here we go again. Like, oh, Jesus. And especially with wrestling, watching old wrestling clips, seeing how it went, oh my God. What a joy to watch. It could be Wrestling Challenge, and I'm just happy the camera's not cutting every 7 seconds. I would take 7 seconds.
Oh, you know? Yeah, that is how bad it is. Like, it's just like, can you stay on one camera angle for more than 10 seconds? And
yes.
The answer is no in the WWE, but it should be. I guess that's the part that I don't get. Yes, use the camera angles, but you don't need to cut that often, guys. Like, it's not brain surgery here. But of course, I
just don't know what changed.
What do you mean, what changed?
You locked up on me. I don't know when that changed to the point where they were like,
oh,
okay, so when we see something We're gonna change the camera angle every second. Like, what's going on? Like, who was backstage saying, all right, this has got to change?
I feel like it wasn't there the wasn't there a spate of movies that they had all the close quarter combat kind of fights where it was just like all entirely too close, but they were cutting the scenes all the time.
The Bourne movies.
Yeah, I feel like they picked
That's
it
where I
up.
remember that start.
I feel like they picked it up around that time frame, and they've never let go of that.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most famous ways of poor camera cutting, I believe, was I think it was Taken 3, where someone counted 7 different camera cuts as Luke jumped over a fence.
Oh my god!
To try and make it look exciting because Liam Neeson's in his 60s. So, anyways, all right. So we bitch about that every week, but
oh.
So what I was saying about Friday, when I saw the match, I was like, "Cool, these two have awesome matches. This is going to be great. I'm actually looking forward to it. So hopefully they don't screw it up." Two, I think Sheamus should win. Reason yeah. being, the next match is at that. What is it? Something in the castle?
Yeah, Clash at the Castle.
Okay. You don't want Drew McIntyre losing overseas in front of that audience. So why not have Sheamus take the fall?
You could go that route.
40,000 tickets.
Yeah, I or
so that's my only reasoning.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to say that they could do Drew a solid and go, you know what, you didn't get your WrestleMania win in front of a crowd. We're actually going to do this in front of a crowd here. Maybe I'm talking myself into a possible win for Drew McIntyre. I still don't think it's likely,
I'm with
but
you. No, no. I mean, we got to get past Saturday first to see what happens, which is still odd to say Saturday. and then after that, I mean, Friday we'll know who's next, depending on what happens. So I don't know. I just the Roman Reigns conundrum to me is possibly the one thing that's holding him up creatively. And I'm not even saying Roman should lose. Because he's slowly turning face. Anyways. He happens to beat people. Well, isn't that what everyone gets behind eventually? A guy that never loses, he's just beating people. Like,
yeah, he just, like, especially putting him in any segments with Theory is only going to help him get cheered.
He ruined that poor guy. And then he even says, like, he even got over with the crowd, but all he had to do was say, well, your daddy don't work here no more. And why isn't Roxanne Perez getting a tag team partner and being in this fatal four-way match? This doesn't make sense. Anyways, let's go back to Raw. Yeah, I mean,
sure.
As soon as he said that your daddy don't work here no more, or I'm gonna be your daddy, like that's what a face says.
I will freely admit the wife felt like she needed to get some WWE merch for me for some reasons. And went with a Bloodline t-shirt. They're moving some merch, man. I'm not surprised. And I did see, especially I felt like this past Raw, a lot of people with the one finger up in the air for the Usos and the main Us.
Yeah. I mean, even when they come out, like, hit that music hits, people react. And it's not just because it was New York. It happens all the time. Now, one, you can always chalk it up to, well, Roman's not on TV very often, let alone wrestling. So,
oh,
it's kind of the Hogan days of stuff where he appears, that's big news. He wrestles, that's gigantic news on TV. So, I like what they're doing with him. And I'm like, well...
But yeah, well, because they unified the championships and they let him go to, you know, a less date-heavy schedule, it's a good thing, but they also kind of need the split championships at this point.
Yeah.
Because of that. Like, the unified championship makes him more important. It also, to me, raises the difficulty of who do you have take that off of his waist also, though, because yeah, it is a heightened thing.
Jesus Christ. No. Cody getting hurt messed everything up, but I was still saying it should have been WrestleMania, but...
Oh.
And I think the other problem is there's no one set up for Roman right now. I mean, he just beat Riddle again last night, which is fine. But
well, that
I honestly expect like Dawkins.
That was to me a little bit of a strange matchup in and of the fact that the singles wrestler I feel like is normally the one protected in that situation when there's tag team and singles wrestler in the match.
Yeah.
But they did not want the Street Profits to be catching in hell a couple of days away from challenging for the championships.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep.
Yeah. It also did help set up Seth at the end, too.
Yes. There's
that, I guess. And also, real quick, I don't keep going back because I'm not used to recording when NXT's on. I would love to see a Julia Creed Tony D match. That little burst they just had, two collegiate wrestlers going out like that, that looks fun. So anyways, but yeah, SummerSlam's not going to suck. Really don't know who's going to win anything. Because goddamn, doesn't it seem like the Street Profits need to win this? Unless they are going to split them up?
Yeah, Chris and I have been on the need to win train for... a little while here, since it's become pretty clear that the Street Profits are challenging here again. Like, and it does seem like they went a couple of weeks where they seem to be teasing the breakup, and I feel like they've backed off of those vibes for the Street Profits the last couple of weeks. It kind of feels like they're going to finally get the... Like, yeah, they've won the championship, but again, I guess because it's unified now, it feels a little more like a real stamp of approval on the Street Profits' run as a tag team.
Yeah, well, but I mean, they've already won with the Raw and SmackDown titles, so it's not like it's the first time ever.
Yeah, I mean, I know that it isn't, but it just... I feel like both of their other title reigns have been kind of underwhelming.
Were they during the pandemic stuff?
I think both of them were. So maybe that's part of the reason why. I guess I'd have to look that up here to see how long they've been on the main roster. But they can't have been on the main, you know, like... Even if they got on the main roster before the pandemic, how much time did they really have?
Because weren't they there during like some of that whole stuff with, like, you know, they were pushing Hector Gart? Not what the hell is my computer doing? Sorry, I don't know what's going on. So if you lose me, I apologize.
No, everything is sounding good on this side.
Well, it started doing things I've never seen before. It was asking, do you want desktop one or two? I'm like, I'm on a laptop. There is desktop two. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah.
These Tuesday shows are messing me up. I'm out of wits. But yeah, but all right. So they were brought up to Raw, and they were also like, remember they got brought up? They were like spokesmen. They were just hyping the show, and they didn't even wrestle.
Okay, yeah,
and they kind of got.
They started doing the vignettes July 1. And then they really started appearing on Raw December 9. Because they were answering an open challenge of the Street era of the Viking Raiders for the Raw Tag Team Championships. So.
Okay.
Yep. But was that, which year, 2019. So, yeah, I mean, most of their run is, so if they really started wrestling in December that year, at least main roster wise, almost their entire run has been during the pandemic. So, yeah, I guess I feel like they need a regular non-pandemic run as champions to, you know, again, like, I think both those guys are going to be around for a long-ass time. So, I don't think they're, either of them are going anywhere anytime soon. But yeah, like, before they break up, I do kind of feel like they need that third run is champs to kind of really lock things in as one of, you know... And I guess, wow, like only a couple of years on the main roster as a tag team. That's kind of a pretty decent resume for considering the time that they have had to work with.
Yeah, and especially in a company that doesn't really care about tag teams, if it's not the New Day or the Usos. So, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of somebody else, but there's really not the bar. That was so long ago now. But yeah. But it just seems like that'll be the nice, it'll be the nice big celebration moment of SummerSlam. If they win. Which I think the show's going to need. So.
Yes. There could be a lot of downers on that show, depending upon how you view things.
I would love, and I'm being dead serious, I would love if Becky Lynch won. Only for, like, the subtle storytelling of Bianca is cursed at SummerSlam. Remember, she got the title, like, she was a champ, Becky came out 29 seconds, done. It would just be kind of fitting to have, like, not 29 seconds, obviously, but to have that something like that happen again.
Oh.
But Charlotte's supposed to be coming back, and I'm hopefully Bayley. But again, we talked about this before. Bianca and Bayley's old news, unless Bayley's been gone long enough that it's new.
Who the hell's
gonna boo when Bayley comes back?
Well, that's the biggest to me. That's the biggest problem is who wants to boo some. No one wants to boo someone coming off of an injury, especially an injury.
And someone that entertaining.
Yes. So, yeah. They're going to be hard-pressed to get people to boo her, I think. Charlotte, that's never too hard to get people to boo her. And, yeah. I guess it will be interesting to see how they work the end of that match. One way or the other. Just because... I wouldn't be surprised with a clean finish. I wouldn't be surprised if Charlotte does kind of run some type of interference costing Becky Lynch, possibly. Or, you know, possibly costing, Bianca, but I don't know why she'd do that, really.
Bianca.
So.
Well, I guess because she's the babyface and. You know, Charlotte's coming back. She ain't getting cheered. Everyone knows that. Like, it's just, it's time. It's just, Charlotte is who Charlotte is. and that's it. So, but Bayley coming back, we never got Bayley and Ronda Rousey, did we?
No.
No. Okay. I don't think they're going to take the strap off Liv quite yet, but I don't know what you do to get around her. But to have like a Bayley Ronda Rousey match, that'd be pretty sweet, dude. So,
yeah, like you said, it's something that we haven't seen. I don't. Yeah, Ronda has problems with the mic, not in the ring. So I would be up for that, and I do think that Bayley could carry the bulk of the talking in that matchup, which would be a good thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I know we keep putting off the Vince McMahon talk, but what is Ronda Rousey's problem? And what I mean is, she comes out, everyone cheers, and then it's already turned lukewarm and people are already booing her. She's done nothing wrong. Unless I've missed something major, I don't get why it's time to boo her already.
To me, she's just boring on the mic. There's nothing. Yeah, like she hasn't really done anything heelish, and even within the talk that she's had against Liv Morgan, she's like, "Hey, I got it." You know, like she's kind of acknowledged all of the circumstances. Like, "Hey, okay, you know what? You cashed in. I got it. Cool." Like, especially in this situation, she's like, "Hey, you know, you won the match. You did what you're supposed to do, essentially, with that briefcase. I'm not going to blame you, but I'm going to whoop your ass now because I'm not going to be injured coming into this match." And A, considering that Liv almost lost the match to start with, you know, like, they did a pretty decent job of having Ronda get the ankle lock on her right when the bell rang. Yeah, there is a lot of reason to think that Ronda should win this match. And I mean, I guess that is one of those ones to me that it could be a little bit of a bummer for some people if Liv Morgan does go home without the championship. And it really could happen. But I don't think they will.
For all sense of purposes, they keep telling Liv's merchandise is selling, the crowd pops are genuine for all this stuff, and it's like, I mean, do you really need to have the strap on her? I mean, isn't there more of a story now to chase it again?
Oh, yeah, knowing that she can do it now. Or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I guess she just... Well, I mean, that's why I don't know how anything's going to go come Saturday, which is kind of refreshing, because we're both kind of agreeing that
There's a lot of open ends. There's a lot of possibilities with all of the matches. I mean, because, well, we've just talked about the two women's championship matches that we're not sure about. Not sure about Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. The Street Profits, Usos, is the one we feel the strongest that it's going to go to the Street Profits, I think, is a general recap of the SummerSlam card so far.
Well, at least I'm hoping the Profits win, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I said, that's the strongest one that we have.
Just four.
But that's still not terribly strong.
No. I'm almost positive he's not beating Bobby Lashley unless they pull a fast one.
And
then say, all right, yeah. Surprise.
Considering the many appearances of my boy Dolph Ziggler, yeah, it would be really weird to see Theory win that matchup. You know, A, just the fact that he's going against Bobby Lashley, but B, yeah. Dolph has been a thorn in his side for reasons here recently. And yeah, it'd be kind of weird to let a championship fall into his hands, considering his
Yeah.
Dolph's whatever plan is.
Yeah, which they've never really said what his deal is, like why he's doing it.
I mean, they intentionally said on Raw this week that they're like, hey, it's kind of strange. Dolph's usually a talker, but he hasn't really talked about this one at all. And it's just like, well, it's been happening for like 3 weeks here now, guys. Like, we need something here. You know, like, I know that he's in a feud with Bobby Lashley. But it's just like, why start doing that if you're not going to give an explanation? Like, why not just have him pop up at SummerSlam and cost theory there? Like, why have him do it for multiple weeks? Like, just seems weird.
The whole Dolph insertion thing is just weird to me anyways.
Oh,
Like,
yes.
where is this coming from and why? They haven't explained it. He's just like, yeah, well, you know, theory. Okay,
Yeah.
where's Robert Roode? Because didn't you guys just both show up again and now you're both not up again?
Yeah, they were still dirty dogs. And all of a sudden, he's
Yeah.
not as dirty dog, it would seem. So yeah,
But it's also Vince writing, which I'm guessing they're gonna have to try and change, you know? But yeah, it's just very, very weird to me, it's like how things happen, but whatever, you know? It's just, I'm just hoping after Saturday there's something different.
oh.
And, you know, storylines change. Even if it's just basic stuff, say Theory somehow wins, which I think is a bad idea. He comes out on Monday and he's like, you know what, Roman, you were right. My daddy's gone. So Austin Theory's back. Just give him his name back. Just give everybody back the name. That's all, that's, th that would just make me happy. No more Riddle, it's Matt Riddle. Just none of these one word idiotic names. Even in the 80s when they were made up names, it was the Big Boss Man. I know Akeem, you know, African Dream, whatever. The One Man Gang. King Kong Bundy. Hulk Hogan. Macho Man. It was just names. Iconic names, too. So the shortening of people's names actually robs them of being like actually something. Like, can you imagine now it would just be Cena?
Yeah, I'm not
It's
that's
nuts.
another one that I'm not quite sure why they've gone to, especially recently, of such great lengths to get rid of names. You know, there's a difference to me. There's the difference between, yeah, well, I guess, does that still fall under the brand, the whole, you know, we're trying to brand our own stuff kind of gimmick? Because I guess I'm trying
Yeah,
to.
it's that rule. You can't have any part of your real name in there. So,
Okay.
like, Johnny Gargano couldn't go by. I guess he could go by Gargano? I don't know. I don't know. I guess maybe they call it Johnny Wrestling instead, which I'm pretty sure he probably has trademarked or something. But
Yeah.
that was the thing.
He's smart. He has that trademarked on his own.
Yeah, but it's like that. That's the thing that makes. That's why you have to change it all. Because his name is Matt Riddle. So now it's just Riddle. Like,
Yeah. So I at least kind of get it from the branding aspect, that they're trying to establish something for themselves. But again, you don't need to just make it a one word thing. You know, they can still have two names. I don't know. Yes. I mean, something's got to flow together better than Matt Riddle, though, too. Like, you almost go, like, oh, yeah, that's an actual name, because it doesn't really fit together.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. A regular name. Huh. Wow. That's all. Even, like, Seth Rollins is kind of weird at first, but, you know, I never got used to it. Roman Reigns, that's fine. It's just kind of redundant and repetitive, but like if they can just start changing basic things to make this a more realistic fake product, you know? That's all I want. I just want basic stuff, and I don't want camera angles changing every 7 seconds. And again, 7 seconds is way too long. I don't want them changing every 1 to 2 seconds. That's all I'm asking. And then we'll get into better storylines, characters, and all that. Just please, 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 just do these basic things. That's all. That's all. Just the bare minimum.
And there it goes. So. Yeah. And I'm not sure. Like, I guess I don't really remember. Was the camera cutting that bad when Triple H was in NXT? Did they have the same production problems?
Don't remember, actually. I don't remember.
Yeah, like...
I'm going to say probably.
Yeah, considering that it was probably the same TV team basically behind it, it wouldn't surprise me. But I really just can't completely recall. So, yeah, that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either, so... Yeah, none of that stuff would surprise me, but
yeah,
I don't know.
So
I don't have my hopes up.
Yeah, I mean, is it time to say we were wrong? We did not think that Vince was on a farewell tour. Maybe he was actually on a farewell tour.
Well, I'm not sure. Okay, so I was trying to do the usual research right before the show, and apparently the payout total is now up to $14.6 million.
Yes.
Of good boy money.
Yep.
So on the call when they announced his retirement, which was actually a resignation, so that's come out. It's not a retirement.
Well,
he's okay. He resigned.
And that's what. Honestly, to me, it can start here. Chris posts the news on his Facebook page pretty much immediately. First article I see just says CEO and chairman stepping down and not creative. That evidently changes very quickly. And I've got to admit, I got pretty interested in SmackDown. And... all of this stuff, like, this information came out, but to me, the second that Stephanie made the announcement on TV was like, ooh, they're not even letting Vince say goodbye? Like, yeah. He's not personally doing this, like... from Jump Street, I'm like, oh my God, Stephanie's the one doing this. And then she's like, hey, you know, he did some great things. Let's do a thank you Vince chant. And everyone does indeed start saying thank you Vince. And roughly 5 seconds after that chant started, the Street Profits music came on. I'm like, oh, this is the way we're going, huh? There, to me, the extra payments and whatnot, that seems like the tip of the iceberg.
Well, and now to me. I'm probably going to get these facts wrong because why would I have them all done? So the payout money keeps coming. Now remember, he said he paid with his own money, right?
Yes.
So now it's coming out that no. He has to pay that money back. Well, wait a second. If it came out of his personal money, why is he paying WWE back? They have to change back their financial statements for, I think, 2019, 20, and 21?
Yeah, something like that? Yeah, it's three separate years that they need to rearrange some financials.
But I'm still sticking to, if it's his own money, why? Like, what kind of shenanigans was he doing? I read, you know, obviously on message boards or whatever, so, you know, maybe they're lawyers, I don't know. Someone said he could have written those off as a business expense. Which is kind of genius. So, I use my money, but they had to pay me back. Because we don't want the reputation of the company being in jeopardy. That's great. That's a twirling of the mustache moment, dude. I'm paying my secretary. I'm giving her $3 million. Oh, by the way, WWE's going to pay me back for it. Like, wait, what? And then another scenario was he paid these women off now. I got to stop saying singular, but and that they still collected a paycheck. Now, I don't know how this works, but I'm trying to explain it right. It's like WWE is asking for the money back that they were paid. If I was getting that right, I don't know. That one seemed a little weird to me. But yeah, I don't know if we were wrong, but then they said that the SEC was getting involved. And that's why he's gone.
Yeah, it definitely seems like they're trying that. To me, the internal, and even though it hasn't officially come out, just reading between the lines, it is, hey, the internal investigation found more than we thought we were going to find, and we really need to do an about face immediately here. To make sure things don't go completely sideways.
Yeah. And to help, like, you know, I don't know if save money is the correct terminology, but, you know, save face and save the company, because not really save the company, but just, like, save the company the embarrassment, I guess?
Also,
you got to watch stock prices, even though that hasn't really hurt the – all of this has not hurt their stock at all.
He's
actually richer than he was.
And then that's the other kind of funny part of this whole situation, I suppose, is that this is definitely – I've already seen a lot of – is the WWE getting ready to sell here? I feel like we talked about those sometime last year that seemed like things were getting set up in that direction, and something like this going on, I'm not surprised that that fire is at least burning again. I'm not sure that it'll happen necessarily. But I can understand why it's a topic du jour for sure.
Yeah, they're financially the books are solid, you know.
And
it's not terrible.
And if I'm not mistaken, from that same filing, they said that projections were coming in higher than they expected. For the second quarter, okay, if I'm not mistaken. Because I'm just kind of going off my memory from the Meltzer report. So, yeah, I mean, that's it. Yeah, things seem to be still going in a positive direction. And also, a couple of different spaces are already talking about possibly them being in a bidding war for their own services again. In like a year or two, and possibly leaving Peacock. That's crazy. So,
oh my god, that'd be nuts.
Yeah. There's Yeah, this Vince resignation thing is leading to it's going to be interesting, I suppose, to see what all completely goes down. You know, sale or not. I mean, there's obviously a lot to like about what's going on. There is a lot of stuff not to like about going on too. And Triple
Well, the
H.
only thing to not like. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Triple H really can't go with the Super Indies plan that he used in NXT to success. Like, they do, to me, I guess, still need to move to a little bit of their grooming their talent. A, I think the indie guys are always going to find their way there. But B, I do think it's smart to groom your own talent like they're trying to do now. Like, what is, you know, why have a training facility if that's not your goal?
Well, yes, and I think everyone realized like he just got obsessed with, he was making that his own indie fed basically. He really was,
Yes.
and it did. I mean, hey, look, he had success with it because we saw what NXT could do for a pay-per-view on a large scale with like the events and all that stuff. We've seen it. We were there.
Yeah,
We were
all
to a
right.
couple of them, and so I can see where there was a desire to create your own brand, your own thing. But now you get a 5-hour window on national TV, and I guess cable's national, but you get a 5-hour window to really show what you can do with talent. So they're still going to poach indie guys, but maybe now they're not going to go to NXT. I mean, like AJ Styles, he never went to NXT because he knew we didn't have to go there. Like Joe, Kevin Owens, those guys went because they weren't actually giving a real shot. They just happened to make it.
Kevin Owens got called
Because
up
they're
pretty
talent nuggets.
quickly.
Yes, he did. But it was also, I mean, that was the full famous story was Triple H saying, "Well, I'll bring you in. You're probably not going anywhere else." That's what Kevin Owens said. He told him. So,
Oh.
he won people over because he's Kevin Owens, basically.
Oh.
That's what I took from him, is,
Yeah.
and we both know how talented he is, so that makes sense. But like I don't know, I know the popular one is MJF. Like he's not, if he leaves AEW, just go with this example. If he leaves, he ain't going to NXT. There's no reason to.
Oh.
Or a Hangman Page, just something like that. They're not going to NXT. They don't need to go.
Right.
So they have like the firepower of recognition to go straight to the roster where Triple H can do what he wants. And especially when he is head of talent, talent relations and creative. Oof, that's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. You can literally bring in whoever you want. You can literally get rid of whoever you want. That is your doing.
Yeah, that's why I would expect still something of a slimmed down roster. I feel like that's part of more of a corporate edict that even Triple H, and I guess that's the other kind of interesting thing pushing forward. Like, yeah, how much leeway does he have to transform it? You know what I mean? That's kind of a
Well,
question
if
that no one can
by
answer.
title, he's got all the power in the world to change stuff.
Yeah, but I.
If he has true power.
Yeah, I guess I still don't think that he can just spend money willy-nilly and expect everything to be happy, though, on the financial end. Like they just, you know, like I don't think that they can get the roster bloat that they just did back. Can they bring back a couple of people? Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into this game of like who can be excised to like thin the roster out, which is, seems like there's some pretty obvious ones. But
No, well, and I get,
it's
unfortunately, there's that option too.
yeah. Well, I mean, that's gonna happen. I'm sure there's people Vince wanted that others didn't. Now, I'm not saying right or wrong, whatever, but that's definitely gonna be the case.
Right.
So,
Yeah.
I don't wish anybody to be out of a job, but still.
Yep, it's gonna happen. I would imagine at some juncture.
Yeah, and it's just I'm trying to remember whoever was head of talent relations and head of creative at the same time. I do not believe that's ever happened. Unless you're Vince. But I don't think he was ever at head of talent relations.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. That always seemed like that fell on someone else. Whether it was Jim Ross or John Laurinaitis, or I don't know if there's any other names that are really on that list.
I think didn't Bruce Pritchard handle it for? Oh no, he did. He handled it in TNA. That's right. Never mind. So never
Yeah.
mind. Yeah, that wasn't him. That wasn't him.
I don't
But no, but I think he was handling it for a little while. No, that was when he took over Johnny Ace. Wasn't Pirano? That was the other guy. Wasn't he the head of talent relations? And then Johnny Laurinaitis came back when they fired Pirano. Because of the whole
Oh, was he talent
he came
relations?
flashback story. I think so, yes.
Okay. I couldn't remember his title. I guess I didn't
Think.
think he was quite that high, but yeah, that's possible. But I
Yeah, but also
guess.
things are quite different too.
Oh,
You know,
things.
like back in the old days, there wasn't a head of talent. I don't believe there was talent creation. There was talent relations. It was
No.
Vince going, "Hey, I want to talk to this guy," or "Hey, I'm gonna find this guy."
Yeah, I guess that
Because that's
title does only go back so far. So, yeah, I guess the list should be somewhat short.
yeah. I was gonna say Jim Ross. I guess I don't know. I don't. I guess I don't know the history enough to know this stuff, but.
Yeah, that's one of those that to me that's under the category of I don't feel like looking up when the head of talent relations started for the WWE. But yeah,
Yeah, exactly.
anyway, I think you're right though, just on the general whole that I don't think anyone else or no one else has held both titles unless you count Vince when he was just kind of doing. Or anyone that honestly ran a territory. I would think that they were pretty much head of talent relations at that point. Just because the operation,
Sorry, I was trying to look up I was
I would
trying to
assume,
listen to
wasn't
talent
big enough.
relations.
So.
What's the damn thing doing? I'm hearing myself again.
Oh, Jesus. This is going to be a lovely, lovely show for
Whatever.
everyone. Although
It's
you've
Tuesday,
sounded
and plus
fine
also
on my
news.
side the whole time. So.
It sounded fine until just now, so whatever. I guess my computer's getting tired of hearing me talk. But
Yeah,
you're the machine.
I still think, to me, there's still going to be some type, to me, some type of limitation on what Triple H can do moving forward. But there are a lot of things, like you
I
said,
guess
that
probably Nick
sh
Khan and Stephanie.
Oh. Yeah, well, I guess that'd be some interesting home conversations if she's got to lay the smack down about something.
Yeah. It's also like this is probably what they've always. I bet you they've talked about this before too. And they're like, oh my God, it's finally happened. How amazing.
Yeah, I would imagine that they've kind of been preparing for this.
Yeah. And just all of a sudden. But yeah, so but it doesn't seem like with Vince being out of there that. that's the end of his story.
Oh.
Because if the Security and Exchange Commission is looking into you, and you already know, I'm going to guess the government still has a hard-on for him, especially after the way, you know, he's talked about the history of things. Like, him beating the federal government was out to get him, and he's the, you know, the lowly businessman, and they're trying to ruin his business and all this. I mean, it's the government. They don't forget this stuff.
Even though
it's not Jim and Bob Cleave over here. It's Vince McMahon and WWE. So they're like, all right, yeah.
The government doesn't forget that we've been through how many officials likely during Vince McMahon's reign as chairman of the WWE. Like, I don't think the guys that sued him for the steroid scandal are still in office currently.
No, but that's still, the federal government don't like losing, man. So, which I guess they did get him on a charge. So maybe, never mind. But, and especially with the wife being on Trump's old cabinet, you have like those political vindictiveness.
That I could buy more than the people from the 80s are still pissed off and pulling levers somehow. Those guys, I'm going to assume, are likely dead. And yes, I said guys, man, because there probably weren't any women there.
Yeah, because I don't... Well, didn't Vince... I think Vince had a woman lawyer on his team, if I remember right.
Uh-oh.
I think. Or should, whatever.
Yeah, I do not remember anything about that trial at all.
No.
Other than it happened.
I realized I didn't know anything about it when I was watching The Dark Side of the Ring, and they were covering it. And I just went, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of things I didn't know anything about... So when I started watching this, all right, so you know, they're always advertising them. This is still wrestling related, but they started advertising them during, like, AEW Dynamite. Did you ever see, I can't remember the name of the documentary series, but it's like Scandalous or something, like Celebrity Scandals or whatever. And they had the one about, there was one about Girls Gone Wild and Joe Francis.
Oh.
So I was like, oh, that's interesting. So I actually watched it. It's on HBO Max. No commercials. It's awesome. Well, as I'm watching this, I realize I've actually seen a Girls Gone Wild video before. Like, clips, sure. A video here or there, like, you know, video short, sure. But have you ever actually seen, like, a whole video of Girls Gone Wild?
No.
Yeah. They had like girls masturbating on there, and having like lesbian sex and all that stuff on there. I thought it was just girls showing their titties. I had no idea.
I guess I feel like that's been out there enough that it was basically a porn site. I suppose I knew that part.
Start off. Yeah, I mean, they explained how he started it, and then, of course, obviously, like, and it was funny, because everyone thinks it was just girls showing their titties, right? But then they started getting into, like, how he was telling the camera guys to act. He was training them how to get these girls to do other things, and it was, like, got real dirty. Like, oof.
Oh.
And then the guy's a hunk of garbage, too, which does not help the case, but... but it was just interesting to see this stuff, and... I had a point that I tied to wrestling, but I totally forgot, so... Oh, well.
Yeah, I don't know. Did it tie in...
documentary.
Tie into Vince and him having sex with young women or anything like that?
Well, that did happen. That started their downfall. They actually recorded two 17-year-old girls, like, showing their breasts or whatever. And he's like... Well, they signed forms. They lied. They had fake IDs. What am I supposed to do? And you're like, well, I kind of agree with you, but they're also drinking. Which you would think would nullify a release form. You know what I mean?
Oh.
I'm drunk. I don't even know what I'm signing. Like, oh, good call. but
I guess maybe you make them sign that before they have a drink.
Well, no, dude. What they used to do is they would go to like bars, party cities, and do and just record girls and give them like a free T-shirt. Hey, show your tits for a T-shirt. And as we all know, Americans love their free T-shirts.
Oh my God!
Look at the rabid animals we turn into with a T-shirt gun things.
Yes,
we're animals about it.
Yeah.
So these girls, already young and young, pretty stupid, like we all were when we were 18, 19 years old, and then drinking, obviously, like, oh yeah, having no real idea the magnitude of what they're about to do, which. I balance that, like, I wouldn't be able to tell you one girl that ever was in one of the videos I saw. You know, like, the 30-second video. I could never tell you who they were. But these girls know who they are, so it carries the weight of it, whatever. But, yeah, the whole thing's messy. It goes by quick, so recommended. What that had to do with wrestling, I lost it, so...
Yeah, I tried to bring it back to wrestling for you there, but it, the connection was not being made.
Yeah, I honestly cannot think of what it was. So, yeah, there's, you know, a little offshoots. We didn't talk about hockey this week, so I was just talking about, you know, late 90s,
you know,
2000 titty things.
I did realize last week, since we forgot to talk about hockey, it is... still somewhat perplexing to me that hockey's biggest free agent decided to sign right here in Columbus, Ohio for less money because he liked the cannon, essentially. And he liked Columbus the city. I love Columbus the city. This was kind of surprising, giving... Oh, the years and years of precedence of people leaving this the hockey team here for larger cities. Pretty strange one that Johnny quote unquote hockey Goudreau is now a Columbus Blue Jacket. Kind of excited about that.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm starting to slowly get back into sports because I'm realizing I like them. I liked it and just kind of stopped watching for whatever reason. Does Columbus have like a bunch of young stars to get them into the playoffs and make runs and become something? Especially if he took less money.
There's a youngish team just because they, you know, because, I mean, and just to be upfront about it, like, one of the bigger names, Artemi Panarin, famously, the Blue Jackets offered him a boatload of money, but he wanted to play in New York. And, I mean, that was just a recent one. But he was a little bit on the older side. They have mostly draft picks at this juncture, and some of the homegrown guys are starting to become old veterans at this point too, for the Jackets. It could be an interesting mix. They weren't that far out of it for most of the season, this past season. They were still, even with maybe like a couple of weeks to go, I want to say that they were listed as in the playoff race.
Oh, okay.
You get a guy that scores .115 in a season, and he lives up to the hype. Hey, you know, that's enough to bump you up, I think, into a playoff spot, or probably is. It's going to be interesting. I mean, there's still a lot to contend with everyone in the division anyway. You know,
yeah.
Penguins are going to be good. Capitals are going to be good. The Rangers, New York Rangers are going to be good. The Islanders could bounce back. No, they might be in trouble, actually. New Jersey still kind of has a bunch of young talent. It's a crowded division for good teams. So yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be tough. It's the right thing to do. It's one of those ones where it truly is one of those, like, you don't get too many of those left field kind of things going on, you know, in sports, just because, like, I mean, all the sports, and I don't really blame the athletes, like, trying to put together their own super teams if they can. It makes sense, you know, kind of work the financials to work your financials. You know, realize that the pay for the game isn't necessarily the be all end all of being in sports. And it's the outside
No.
stuff that really makes you the money. You know, it
Yeah,
kind of
and Jordan
makes,
proved that.
you know, it does make a great deal of sense to go somewhere that kind of has that a little more established, and there are more avenues for money. But how many times, I mean, it is hilarious to me, and maybe Shahid will talk about it on Thursday, maybe he won't. But I mean, he always, it makes me laugh, the aw shucksness of hockey players that is generally out there as a view. But then again, to go back to the big city thing, how many of these guys are divas that need to be going to these big city places to be playing? It's just like, it's counterintuitive to the way you look at hockey players a lot of the time. Like, oh, they're all, oh, it's all grit, it's all grizzle, it's all heart. And then they're doing, you know, the same shit that other athletes are doing. So,
Yeah.
to me, it
Yeah.
was another one of those, hey, it's kind of a win for the. A win for the little guys and a fine city, honestly. Like, they do have good fans here that will come and cheer them on when things are positive. I don't care where you live. If your team stinks, the attendance is gonna stink. Just the way that it is. Like, I got
Yes.
over that bandwagon thing, I don't know, sometime in my early 20s, sometime. I realize that bandwagon fans either aren't a thing or it's a completely understandable thing to only really want to be there when things are going positively.
Yeah, and I especially now don't blame anybody for not going because of how expensive it is.
Oh.
I mean, wait, why would you go, like, all right, so you know a movie's bad, you don't go to the movie. That doesn't mean you don't like the movies, you don't like the actor, it just means that movie's bad. Why would I waste money and time on that? And especially in a time where you've got so many options for other things, then yeah, no. Like, I had a good time with the MLS game and the Charlotte game. I don't know why I said MLS, but so we're probably gonna go this weekend because it was fun and it's not that expensive. Like, it's, I don't know, I think it's $50, but we're close to the field. You know, $50 still adds up to about 120 with fees, so it's not cheap, but it was a good time. If I go to this one and it's not that good, eh, I'll reconsider going again, at least for a while. That's why I don't like SmackDown's here coming. I don't care. Raw's here. I don't care. I don't go. So
I
it's not
still,
worth the money.
yeah, I still have not picked up
AEW came
AEW
close, all
tickets.
right? Yeah, and that's tomorrow, isn't it?
Oh, is that here in town
Or is it next
tomorrow?
week? I think so.
Yeah, I kind of forgot when it was, to be honest with you. Because I mean, considering the venue that they're at, there's no reason that I couldn't have gone.
Yeah. But, I mean, yours is a little, you got other stuff going on, busy, you know, whatever. But in general,
August 3rd.
My God.
Oh, good thing I didn't buy tickets. I'm not going to be here.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah, we got to talk about that when you're done. So I understand why people don't go. I mean, if you drag, like, you, your kids, your friend and your kids, your wife and kids, whatever, you're looking at a ton of money for tickets, just tickets. Not including the outrageous price of food. And I know this is nothing new, but especially now with inflation, prices being hiked, goods being hiked, whatever.
Oh, right.
That's a major sacrifice to make. That is a major sacrifice to make. I mean, well, for the, I guess I don't want to say the common or average person, but for the most people, I would believe that is a huge, huge deal. So even SummerSlam, which I think is actually more indicative of the product itself, that it sold 40,000 seats, 30,000 in a football stadium, which is still more than an arena, but it should be quite telling that you tried a football field, which should be thunderstorming. It's going to be an interesting show this week. It's going to be thunderstorming. Because that's how the South works.
That's how summer works in general.
Man, it is so unbearable down here right now, and we just keep getting these strong-ass thunderstorms. And they're strong, too. So they're going to have to clear the stadium out. I don't know if they're going to stop the show. I mean, I know the rain will have an overhang, but so?
But, yeah, rain does not always fall straight up and down.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, they're calling for rain next 4 days here, 5 days here. And we're not that far. So, and they get a little worse storms up there because we get some of the mountains that deflect it away. Not a lot, but ours are more pop-ups. But up there, you know, rolls through, then hits the mountains. So they're in big trouble if it turns out the way it's supposed to. But going back, pricing, product not as good, not as strong creatively as it is financially. So unless they're offering really cheap tickets, I don't see any more. I don't get a big walk-up, obviously. But some people may like, all right, we've got, let's go. So, but the whole point is if it's good, people go, regardless.
Yes.
Somehow people find the money.
Yes, it's always funny. When people enjoy stuff, they will find the money, even if it is against their own self-interest.
Yep. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's like every time you see a movie, and I can relate, when you're poor, poor people always have money for cigarettes and alcohol. Every story. And I remember not having money. We always had money to scrounge up to go drinking. By hook or by crook, we found a way to go out drinking. So I understand. I will never say, well, that doesn't make any sense. No, it does.
Yeah, it tracks.
Yeah,
have you been through life?
Makes sense to me.
No.
Yeah, I'll get you. I'll get you next. Yeah.
Oh, I get a good hoot out of is it a B-Dubs commercial where the guy's like, "Oh yeah, he's happy hour rich." I'm just like, yeah, I remember that time in life.
Yep. Like, hey man, hey, you want to go out? I can't. I don't get paid till Friday. I got you. Cool. Never pay him back. Because they're going to come back and do the exact same thing to you. So you just go with it. To this day, like, I got so used to that. To this day, like, if I buy concert tickets or just tickets for a group of people, I was like, just give me the money when you get it.
Yeah, oh.
And they're like, you don't want it right now? I was like, if you got it, sure. I mean, I was like, just buy me a beer or two at the concert. Cover one ticket, I'm sure. So,
oof.
You know, but yeah, there ain't, the beers aren't cheap at these damn shows. So,
yep, trust me, I know all too well about.
Oh yeah, probably.
prices at events, which is trust me, there are ways around buying food at events, not taking the food in, but just not eating there. But it's also a conscious decision.
Oh yeah.
To one way to save money at said events. So, yeah. Get your workarounds, kids. Anything else to say in the wrestling?
That's all it is. Be smart.
Yeah.
Oh, I am. Okay, so I messed up. Did not get Death for Dishonor, which I wanted to get. But I gotta figure out this YouTube TV thing. So, oh well. I missed it. I wanted to see Claudio win, but I wasn't sure. And I really wanted to see FTR and the Briscoes, which I'm kicking myself. So I'll find those. But I'm almost positive I'm going to get the last Ric Flair card. Oh. Just obviously not for him, but for all the other matches. I mean, have you seen this?
Yes, like we talked about it last week. It sounds like a pretty solid card, except for the main event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've even added Jonathan Gresham to the card now. Jonathan Gresham, Nick Wayne, Alan Angels, and Kensuke Takeshita. I think I said that right.
Okay.
In a four corners match. Why? Just for the hell of it.
Because we can.
What else was there? Yeah. What was there? Oh, there's a Bunkhouse Battle Royal. I don't know who's in that.
Nope.
Then Ren Narita and Yui. Oh, god damn it.
What? All these foreign names tripping you up?
Yui Mura, yes. Well, I'm also trying to actually say them correctly instead of being like what I usually do and go, I don't know how to say it, I'm going to guess. So, but.
I suppose that'd be interesting.
I do think I'm going to get it, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn about the main event. But Josh Alexander, Jacob Fatu, and then the Briscoes and the Von Erich should be fun. I've gone over it, but the whole thing looks like it should be fun. And after SummerSlam, who knows? Actually, if SummerSlam's really good, I may skip it. Who knows? But I keep fighting the idea that I still like wrestling. I just don't like what WWE does.
Been something that I feel like I've said on the podcast with whomever else has been on here. If I just stuck to pay-per-views, I'd be okay. Pay-per-views almost always seem to be fun and enjoyable. The week-to-week grind is a little rough at this point. You know, like, yeah, they seem to... Even though the WWE puts on 12 or probably more, what are they calling them, special events now?
Events.
Yeah. You know, especially if you throw in the NXT ones as more than just, you know, your basic 12 or whatever it is from the WWE proper. Yeah, on a general whole, if it's a special event, it's been enjoyable. So, yeah. Do I expect SummerSlam to at least be good? Yeah. Like, that's my expectation. Because it's a pay-per-view. Like, I still feel like the wrestlers get up for that. They're also given more storytelling time in the ring than they do normally have. I mean, I know that there's some long matches on Raw and SmackDown and AEW. Like, everyone has longish matches. I still feel like the quality tends to be better at the pay-per-views / special events. But, you know, across both...
Absolutely, yes.
Across both brands. Like, even AEW. Like, I know that everyone has probably a match that's on TV that you're like, oh yeah, I could nominate that for match of the year. The majority of the matches that are still going to be on that list, though, are going to be pay-per-view matches.
Yeah. So, I don't know.
Yep.
So we'll see. Probably next week when I do the show, I'll be like, yeah, I decided not to order it, but whatever. As of right now, I think I'm going to get it. And I know it feels like I'm enabling this horrible decision to have this man wrestle, but he's going to do it anyways. And if you're going to provide me with some really hopefully entertaining stuff underneath, yeah, I'm in, man. I spent more money on 4 beers this weekend than it would be the cost of the show. So it's like, all right, whatever, that's fine. So,
yeah,
I wish that was an exaggeration too. But so yeah. So hopefully next week I'll have a rundown.
Okie dokie. Well, good news. I think Chris is thinking about ordering that too. So you might have a partner in crime to review that. Are you drinking any any beers on your end?
No, I forgot. I'm doing my Gatorade Zero. The gym's atrociously awful, like heat wise. So I have to
hydrate.
Hydrate, to be honest.
This story came out before we hit record. The wife was on vacation before I go on vacation, and she was nice enough to stop in, Georgetown, Kentucky? Yep, Georgetown, Kentucky, on her way back home at Country Boy Brewing. I had their Cliff Jumper IPA tonight, 7% alcohol. It is a pretty tasty little beverage here. I am looking forward to a straightforward all-in citrus IPA with a blend of 4 hops. It's a pretty enjoyable one for me. It leaves out there is a little bit of a bitter twinge in there on the end of it. For the most part, though, you do get a lot of the citrus parts of it. Not quite like it there. I will expect their New England IPA to be even more citrusy, so I look forward to that review on a future podcast here. So that's your Bell Time beer from at DeFrango 11. That was at Granny Mays. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.